Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, sometimes when things are broken, even when they're repaired, they're never as strong as they were before. But sometimes, when a weld is used to repair something that is broken, or a splint, it ends up being stronger than the original. This is not a reason to break anything, but it is a reason that things are worth repairing. In our text, Isaiah is talking about God's covenant, which he pictures as being like marriage. A covenant is a relationship between two parties, usually sealed by certain actions or objects like holding hands or exchanging rings. But Jeremiah speaks of this covenant being broken and of a new covenant. This is the source of the language Jesus uses when he talks about the Holy Communion being the new covenant in his blood, and when we talk about an Old and a New Testament. But rather than thinking of an old covenant being replaced, think of it as being renewed. Because the new covenant involves the same parties and has the same purpose, although it has a different cause and effect. We're going to think about how God leads us by the hand to know him, about how God's covenant is broken by our rejection of him, but how God's forgiveness leads us by the heart. So first let's think about how God leads us by the hand to know him. Jeremiah writes, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, although I was their husband, declares the Lord." So here God pictures his covenant with Israel as being like a marriage, where he is the husband who will faithfully provide for and protect them. He pictures himself like an ancient bridegroom who would go and take his bride by the hand and lead her from her home to his home where they will live together, a place where possibly she's never been before. In fact, before the wedding, the ancient bride and groom may not have known each other at all, but they get used to knowing each other. In verse 34, the word for know, the Lord, is the same as the word used in Genesis where it says Adam, in the King James, Adam knew his wife, Eve. That is, it's an intimate knowledge, not just a casual acquaintance. This is the kind of faithful relationship God wants with Israel. He wants them to know him as their God. But how would they know a God who is unseen? And so God had ways in which he led them by the hand to himself, that is, things he had them do. He had them build a tabernacle, later on a temple, in which he showed them that even though they didn't see him, he was always with them. He had priests, which is referred to in today's epistle reading, to show that this relationship with God required an intermediary. They performed sacrifices involving the shedding of blood to show that blood was necessary to atone for the uncleanness of sin. Each of these things ultimately pointed to Jesus and the new covenant in his blood. Just like the things that we do here in this place, washing in holy baptism, receiving Holy Communion, these are ways that God leads us by the hand to know him. Excuse me. This is because he wants to have a personal relationship with us. Now, ancient covenants were usually made by two parties who joined hands and agreed on what they were going to do. But God's covenant, as we see it in the Old Testament, was one-sided. God alone was the one who promised what he was going to do. And then he told Israel what they were going to do in response. And then they trusted and relied on his promises. Well, that was the plan. But we see that God's covenant was broken by rejection. And so God laments, "My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband." The purpose of God's covenant, for which he led them by the hand, was not just that they go through the motions, but that they were led to an intimate knowledge of God and what his great love for them was like. But the people weren't so interested in knowing God. They were interested in hearing what he had to say or spending time with him. And I suspect this is because they did not really want him to know them intimately and have an intimate knowledge of what they were like inside. They wanted to hide the shame of their sinful desires and their selfishness and their laziness and their mean hearts. The intimacy that God intends in marriage and in the relationship with him requires openness. That's why people are reluctant. It requires vulnerability, that is, the ability to be hurt. It means taking the risk of being hurt by the other, what they might think of me if I'm open. But without this kind of openness, there could be no real love. Israel was not ready to take the risk of knowing and loving God in this way. Instead, they took God's gifts and then they turned their back on him and followed their feelings after other lords, other gods that seemed to be fine with multiple partners. So, the covenant of God's love for them and his promise with them was broken. Not by God, who always faithfully does what he says he does, but by the people who did not receive what God had promised because they did not believe what God had said to them. The reason the old covenant was broken then was not because there was anything wrong with the covenant. It's because there was something wrong with the people. They were the ones who were broken. Let us recognize how the same things can be true of us. God has promised that he will always be with us, and that he is leading us to an eternal home with him. This gives us hope and comfort and peace and joy. But it doesn't come from just going through the motions of church ceremonies without genuine faith, without being open with God about our sins, and sincerely desiring to know his love. But the good news is, God is still faithful to his covenant and to us. And so, God's forgiveness leads us by the heart. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." What creates this new covenant with God is forgiveness. Because in this covenant, he is leading us to see that in spite of our brokenness and unfaithfulness, God still loves us and forgives us. This happens because God was willing to be vulnerable. He was willing to love us openly and take the risk of making himself able to be hurt by us. And so Jesus came, as God planned all along, to be God with us in the tabernacle of mortal flesh, to be the mediating priest who experiences all the sufferings we experience, to accept the rejection of those who refuse to know God, and to allow himself to be hurt and to die, to be that once and for all sacrifice for our sins, whose blood signs and seals the new covenant in which God gives us the forgiveness of our sins. This is what grips us, not just by the hand, but by the heart, and leads us to go where God wants us to go. This covenant, too, is one-sided. It all depends on what God does. He says, "This is the covenant I will make. I will put my law. I will be their God. I will forgive." This covenant, too, also involves actions that God uses to lead us through the water of holy baptism to the altar to receive his body and blood, and the words of God that are spoken by brothers and other mediators. But this covenant calls for the trusting openness of faith, through which we receive what God writes on our hearts and believe what he writes there, so that we receive the forgiveness that he gives to his people. So that we do the things God wants us to do, not just because his law says we have to, but because our hearts say we want to. And we come to know the Lord, not just secondhand because of what some neighbor or brother says, but because we have a firsthand knowledge of him. It's when we are open about our sins and cling to his grace that we know personally the peace of his forgiveness. It's when we're open about our weaknesses and our needs and rely on his wisdom that we know personally the comfort of his powerful help. It's when we believe his truth and we know personally what he promises and the hope that it gives. This is God's new covenant, an intimate relationship with him in which he knows us and we are open to him and we know him and believe his word. And so God leads us by the hand to know him, by the things he has done for us and the things he has us do. God's covenant is broken by our rejection, when we refuse to go beyond superficial actions to opening ourselves up to being known by God and fully knowing him. But God's forgiveness leads us by the heart. When Jesus opens himself up to hurt and to death in order to forgive our sins and so renew the covenant of God in which we know God by faith and we are indeed his own dear people. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.